Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And today's date is Wednesday, December 18th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 76, reading and commenting on the third paragraph, which begins, "Now we need more action." Today's readers are Lorraine N. for the 12 Steps, Leah S. for the 12 Traditions, Leslie W. and Pam M. Please stay tuned for Nan K. to greet newcomers and Leslie W. with some special announcements after the recording has ended. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 13838. That's 13838. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for December 18th is 13844. That's 13844. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Lorraine N. from Redmond, Oregon. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And I will now ask Leah S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you very much. Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn, New York. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining contributions, outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much for your service, Leah. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 76, and we're going to be reading and commenting on paragraph 3. And I will ask Leslie W. to please begin reading.
Hey, thanks, Elaine. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember that it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Okay. So here I am being challenged to put my money where my mouth is. These were by far, I feel like, the most difficult steps for me personally, because I had so much pride and fear of how other people saw me and viewed me, and going to people and admitting my faults, asking for forgiveness, or however you and your sponsor decide to approach this step. Me personally, I found that it was best to keep it short and sweet when I talk to people, to own up to my part immediately with no mention of what they did or did not do. One of the mistakes that I made early on when I approached this step was attempting to make an amends with a person, in this case my sister, while I was still harboring feelings of resentment towards her. So basically, I tried to go ahead and take this step just to check the box and say that I did it. But when I was completely honest about it and looking back on it, you know, I still felt superior to her. And that first amends did not go well. The second time around, I took a closer look and I was entirely abstinent, which also is a precursor to this. You know, that really made a big difference. I saw my defects of character. I was humbled by God and was able to perceive things and see things that I just could not see the first time around. Sometimes it just takes a couple of passes. For me, it took a couple of passes before I could land that plane, you know? I mean, it just did. But I was willing, and I still am willing, you know, thank you, God, to go to any lengths for victory over the food, you know? The fear that I have of going back to the way that I was is much greater than the fear that I have of other people's opinions of me. And thank you for that. Thank you, God, for that. And I hope that the scales will always be tipped. Hope and pray that the scales will always be tipped in that direction. Because once I start placing other people's opinions of me and my fears, a fear of other people's opinions of me, over my desire to recover, then I'm in trouble. So with that, I think I'm going to pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Leslie W., getting us started here. Great start. Who would like to comment on that third paragraph on page 76?
Therese L.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Leah S.
Leah S. Oh, you guys are so gentle and kind today.
Courtney M.
Courtney M. And one more.
Pam M.
Pam M. Okay. And I'll put Sherry KB at the top of the next lineup. So I've got Therese L., Kathleen O., Donna D., Leah S., Courtney M., Pam M., and Sherry KB will kick us off for round two. So please go ahead, Therese, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, it's Therese L., recovered in Montreal, Canada. Thank you so much for your service. So happy to be on the line live. At least once a week I can get on. This step really speaks to me because this go around with my sponsor, I feel like the steps 8 and 9 are what changed everything for me. And my spiritual awakening came as a result of going to any length in regards to the amends process. And I definitely was recommended to pray for the willingness to venture out and make the amends where I was feeling less courageous, I should say scared. And every time that I prayed for the willingness, and it was incredible. I just brought God into the picture, and I was amazed. I prepared the amends I needed to do. I prayed for the person. I prayed for the willingness. And literally, boom, I was at someone's house. And the next moment, there was a knock on the door, and in walks this woman I need to make an amends to. And I had thought it was going to happen in, you know, when I would meet her in a week or walk over to her house. It was just all God ordained. And another woman, my mother-in-law, that I needed to make amends to, I had such fear around. And I was praying about it. I worked on the writing and how to say it. And as I was writing it, my mother-in-law calls. My father-in-law calls, and he passes the phone to my mother-in-law. And I was just blown away. I mean, God just kept pushing me and had sent me the people that I needed to make the amends to straight into my face, telling me that I was ready. I didn't think I was ready. He told me I was ready and I needed to go out and make those amends. And it was such a euphoria when I was done. And I knew and I felt that God had been with me and God had made this happen. And that was part of the whole spiritual experience that continues to evolve slowly over time. But that's when we show the willingness, when we attempt to sweep away the debris, and God just, it's like we start digging, God completes it. We just have to show an opening to God, show a willingness to God, and the size of a needle, and God comes forth. It's like we say, God, you know, we have to just walk one step toward God, and God runs towards us. That's how I felt with my step 9 experience, that's 8 and 9 experience. And it's really together. You cannot do 8 without 9. You cannot do 9 without 8 before it. And it's definitely with the guidance of a sponsor and my God squad. It was just a transforming experience. And I really suggest that anyone who's feeling any fear around this should pray to God and seek help. And God will show you what to do. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sarit L. Kathleen O., you are up next, followed by Donna B.
Good morning, Elaine. It's Kathleen O. in California. Thanks for your service this morning. So let's look at steps 8 and 9. One of the miracles that I found in doing steps 4 and 5 was that I was finally able to admit that I had harmed people. So and then that was very helpful in 8 and 9, because if I didn't realize where I'd harmed people, I couldn't even move on to 8 and 9. So, you know, and prior to these steps, I never looked at my part, and I always felt the victim and that my actions were justified. So to realize I was wrong and had harmed people, that in itself was a miracle. So I found that I was willing to make amends to most of the people on my list, but there were a few which fell into that category of the second to the last sentence in this paragraph. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. I thought, no way, no how. There's no way I'm going to be able to make these amends. So I love this sentence because it actually took away the fear and anxiety over these difficult amends. And I didn't think I could ever make these amends, but my sponsor told me all I had to do was be willing to be willing and ask my higher power to direct me in making these amends. So I thought, okay, I can do that. And they were difficult amends, you know. Two of them were with one was to an ex-wife of an ex-husband, and the other was to an ex-wife of my current husband. And, you know, one would have thought that I could have learned not to harm an ex-wife when I did it with the first husband, but I was nowhere near recovery. So I did the same thing with the ex-wife of the current husband. And at the time, I didn't think I was harming them. But that's how sick I was. I was definitely harming them. And if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. But I don't even know if I ever would have gotten to that point if I hadn't done this whole process of these steps. So I knew I needed to make amends to these women, but I had no desire or will to do so. So it was one of those, no way I'm ever going to be able to do that. But I decided, okay, I'm going to ask my higher power for help. I sincerely wanted to make them. And just that willingness, I on two separate occasions, I ended up with these women and they were like right in front of me. And, you know, it was just really amazing. By the grace of God, I ended up alone with, these women on these two separate occasions. And on one of them, I was at this party and there was a bunch of people, and all of a sudden there's all these fire engines and everybody ran out to see what it was. And this ex-wife and I stayed. We didn't leave for some reason. It's like, was it odd or was it God? Well, clearly it was God. It gave me the opportunity to, you know, sincerely and genuinely apologize to her for what I had done. And I have to say that when we do that for people, they're really grateful. And I found that she was very generous and very kind. And it felt like 100 pounds was lifted off my shoulder. So, you know, God helped me dig myself out of the mess I created in life. And going to any length, it does bring a lot of freedom and relief. So don't miss this part of it. it's when people kind of, you know, go, oh, no, 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 just be willing to be willing. God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Donna P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Leah S.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling in from Denver. Thank you so much for everybody's service this morning and for the beautiful shares that I've heard so far. The step eight, we made the list of people that we need to make amends to when we took inventory. And in steps four and five, I do that work with a sponsor. And it's so important for me and in my experience to do step eight with a sponsor as well. I have to be careful to make sure that I am not taking a disproportionate amount of responsibility for the damage in relationships. I did not cause all the damage by myself. I did not cause all the pain and harm myself. And it is not for me to take complete responsibility for what's happened in the past and to try to fix something that cannot be fixed, to try to repair something that cannot be repaired. In my experience, it is so important to work with a sponsor that can help me and guide me to make that appropriate discretion and who it is safe to go to and who it is not safe to go to. I had a sponsee who, under the influence of bulimia, alcohol, and drugs, had put herself in many dangerous situations with men. And when we went through the sex inventory, it really did not make, there was a lot of damage that was caused. It did not make sense for her to go to these men and to make amends to them directly. They did not appear to be safe people for her to approach. So together, we prayed and asked for guidance from her higher power and my higher power. So sometimes an amends is not necessarily going face to face to a person and putting ourselves in a possibly dangerous position. For me, amends is not saying I'm sorry, but amending, like the Constitution, making changes to my constitution as a person. And there are so many ways to do that that can keep us safe, protected, and not violate this sort of code of being willing to go to any lengths for victory over our disease of compulsive overeating. This paragraph comes right after the seven-step prayer, in which we've asked God for the strength to go out to do God's bidding. It's my belief that God wants us to be willing, wants us to humble ourselves, but also to be safe from people who may have caused us harm. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Leah S., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Courtney M.
Oh, my goodness. This is Leah S. I don't think I can outdo all these wonderful, wonderful shares. Okay, so the first part of this paragraph, it talks about step eight, and the second part talks about step nine. And yes, in step four and step five, in the last column of step four is, what harm did I do? And that's partially where I take my list from. But there's another thing that step eight and nine is doing to me. Step four and five, Step 6 and 7, it is changing Leia. I'm looking at who Leia really is. The real Leia is coming out and staring at me in the face. This is what your reaction is to this type of situation. This is how you don't react or do. And this is what you do when these type of people when this person and that person gets together, this is what you do. It made me realize, it woke up something in my psyche and said, wait a minute, why are you doing this? And it made me look even deeper into myself. You know, are you judging people? Are you criticizing? What are you doing here? Who do you want to be? Who do you think God wants you to be, Leia? And as I keep on doing and working with others as well, this thought just came up, and that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. Courtney M. will be our next speaker, and then Tiana will follow her, and we'll take another lineup on page 76, the third paragraph, which begins with, now we need more action. Please go ahead, Courtney.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, sorry about that. It was still unmuting. Thank you so much for your service today. I'm just really, I'm brand new to this program, and I am learning so much. I'm not new to 12-step recovery, but this is more recovery than I've heard in the other programs that I've been involved in. So when we talk about in the paragraph taking more action, that is something to me that it speaks right to my heart, because I'm a very action-oriented person. And for me, if I don't have specific instructions, I tend to twirl in place, and I don't really make progress. I just twirl in place. So when we have this specific list of instructions, for this is how you take your inventory, this is how you make your amends and who you make your amends to. To me, having such clear instruction is such an amazing gift. And here it is, 70 plus years after that was originally, you know, written down, almost 90 years, I guess, that still applies, and that we can use it to recover from this obsession that for me is all about filling that that need to feel that connection and that clarity and that that feeling of being open and available and a clean slate to move forward. So I am not in this program. I have not gotten to work this step yet. I'm actually still on step one, but I'm really looking forward to it, because I know that it's going to give me an amazing sense of freedom. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Courtney. Glad you've joined us. And yes, it does give that amazing sense of freedom to anybody who follows these instructions. So, Pam M., you'll be up next, and then we'll take another lineup right after your share. Please go ahead, Pam.
Great. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. This is Pam M. from the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York. So I just want to say that I was really touched yesterday hearing all of your shares about how you experienced steps 6 and 7. For me, I went down on child's pose. I'm a yogi, and did my step 6 and 7 right there on my knees on my yoga mat, and it was powerful. And now every time I go back to my yoga mat, I remember that I took that step to surrender to my higher power. So when I made my list of people that I harmed, I had actually, as Donna B said, I had actually had some people on my list that I had not harmed, but, you know, the people pleasing part of me wanted to fix it. So instead of letting God handle it, you know, I wanted to take control. And that is one of my character flaws, is that I want to take control and not let God take the wheel. So I had to spend a lot of time realigning myself, saying a lot of prayers, and meditating and asking for grace. Again, you know, I encourage you to work thoroughly with a sponsor and make sure that you're not trying to manipulate someone to like you, because that's just another form of self-will run riot, and that was what I was doing. The first time I made my list of those that I was willing to make an amends to, I wasn't entirely abstinent, and so the amends that I made went sour. And they went sour because I wasn't purified in my body, mind, and soul yet. I was still angry and resentful. And I did need to, as so many of you have been saying, I needed to pray for many months until I felt right about it. And as it says in this paragraph, ask until it comes. So when I did finally get entirely abstinent, I had to do a bunch of do-overs. And I can see the difference now as an entirely abstinent, recovered woman. More and more is revealed. More harms that I've done come back from, you know, the darkness of my memory that I had covered over with my food, anger, resentment, and discontentment. And I do feel like every day the veil is being lifted and I have more willingness to make things right. I have more clarity about who I should be making amends for and what I should be making amends for. And I'm falling in love with my honesty and my humility. After doing this abstinently, I'm more equipped and willing to admit my flaws and mistakes as I move throughout my day. And that makes for a more peaceful, relaxed, and loving life.
Gentle reminder.
Oh, yes, thank you. The more of my humanness I allow others to see, the more easily I can be loved by others. And I have so much sweetness in my relationships now, and I owe it all to this program. So with that, I pass. Namaste.
Thank you very much, Pam M. So we have time for Sherry KB is going to start out our lineup, and we've got time for more people to share. Who would like to comment on this paragraph?
Terry S.
Melanie C.
Terry S. Melanie C. That's all I heard from that last batch of names all speaking at once. Who else would like to comment?
Marcella M.
Marcella M. And one more?
Ricky M.
Ricky M. That'll do it. So I have Sherry KB, Terry S., Melanie C., Marcella M., and Ricky M. Can't wait to hear from all of you. So we'll start out with Sherry KB. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line and Team Wednesday. Faith without works is dead. You know, if I don't move forward with my amends, there's a warning down here that I agreed that I would go to any lengths for victory over compulsive overeating. And, you know, this is all the stuff that I ate over, all the stuff that was between my ears. And with God's help, I can go do this. And I've noticed that some of the hardest amends I've had to make, I've asked God to meet me in the room when I was there. And feeling God's presence with me when I was making the amends made it a lot easier. And, you know, I just want to address, too, the amends that, you know, that maybe someone had done a lot more damage than I ever did. But what I noticed is that, especially from ones many, many years ago, that I had held on to, and that was my part, is that I held on to the story, and I would re-enter myself by telling myself the story, and I'd re-enter others by telling the story. So my amends to this person was stop telling the story. It was a living amends. I stopped telling the story to other people, and I stopped telling myself the story, and that's how I was able to make amends to this person, to see them the way God sees them. And, you know, it talks about, you know, we're turning over our will. We're doing this now. And on page 85, you know, it talks about that every day we must carry the message of God's will into all our activities. how can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. And these are thoughts that have to constantly go with me, and that's how I exercise my will, is the proper use of the will, is to align my will with my higher powers. So therefore, when I made an amends to my husband, you know, there was a lot of stuff that happened between my husband and I. And, you know, all of a sudden, and just like somebody else said, I was sitting there and out popped my amends. And I wasn't expecting to do it right then and there, but it was like God gave me the words, and it came out. And I was amazed, and I think he was waiting for me to say something more about what he had done. And, you know, that didn't come out. I really felt free. I felt free from all the what-ifs and all that other stuff that he had done. I felt free, and that was worth more than anything for me, was to feel free. And admitting my wrongs to him was huge, and it really did a major shift in our marriage. I can't tell you how amazing that was, and I know that God did that for me, what I could not do for myself. And I have a sponsee that's walking through it right now, and there's a little prayer that I suggested for her, is God grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Terry F., you are up next, and you will be followed by Melody C.
Thank you. Hello, everybody on Visions. This is Terry S., recovered food addict in Bend, Oregon. And I was really struck by this paragraph, Step 8, with requiring more action. And my thought at the time, and still is at times, is, oh, dear God, don't make me do any more. You know, I'd survived the step 4 and 5 process. I had written down, you know, all those shortcomings, which are not really pleasant to look at. And yet the program requires that I continue taking more action. When I really wanted to just become a yogi and sit in a cave and contemplate my navel. So that defines for me faith without works is dead. I had lots of faith, but I certainly didn't want to get out into the world and get hurt anymore. So that was my solution. But the big book continues to drive you on, drives me on. There's more action, more action, more action. And I've been sharing lately that my level of food addiction requires a lot of daily action. And because I'm a chronic relapser in the past, I have dropped a few things, and then pretty soon I am back in the food. So I'm really determined this time to not make that choice and to really keep myself grounded in this program and continuing on with my willingness, you know, to make amends, to be willing to put people on that list, even when it's uncomfortable. So I'm really, really grateful, and I'm so glad everybody's here. This is the renaissance of OA, and I'm so grateful that I've finally found it and clicked in. So blessings to everybody, another great abstinent day, and with that I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry S. I'm so glad this meeting's here, and y'all are too, including Melody C., who's up next, and you'll be followed by Marcella M.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melody C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. You know, I found myself at step 9, and an amends I was going to be making kept me aflutter, probably around step 4, kept me aflutter, and driving where I needed to drive, quite a distance to get to where I got to go to be able to make this face-to-face amends. I felt my heart rate just kind of ramping up a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And I pulled into the driveway, and I noticed that my heart rate was just really, really racing. And the telltale signs of shock, you know, my hands were cold, they were wet and clammy, and my voice, even within my thoughts, were kind of, shuddering and stammering and stuttering and stammering and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there I was, and I'd already made some effort towards the arrangement of this time in this place, and I didn't know how I was going to go through to the next point. I usually recoil from things like this. Not only life did I recoil from, I recoil from things like this. I have a quick thinker that helps me justify and rationalize where it's not necessary. I can just, put it out of my head. What was it going to take to execute such a frightening act of what I was just about to put myself into willingly? Faith without works is dead, is what they tell me. Well, what the heck does that mean? I kind of look at it like this. The idea and the issue without action is not going to produce the necessary transformation of my heart to reconcile with spiritual solution. And that's what was on the line here. I was not going to be able to come into my own to be effective, to be able to have love come back into my life, empathy come back into my life, if this didn't happen. I had something that was a part of what I was and what I had become that was hard enough that I could hurt somebody to the extent that I was hurting this person that was taking so much in order for me to get in front of. To be able to have that kind of power, there had to be something transforming within me, and the hope, the faith that whatever I was reading, whatever I was being told, whatever I was taught about power was true. And I had to test it. It had to be tested by something as frightening as this roller coaster ride was going to be in front of this deal at this particular time. And it proved out to be true over and over and over again. And so I can get back into that ring and never recoil again, get back for that development of my maturity. And that was what was lacking within the spiritual realm over and over and over again. And it goes pop, bang, wow. With empowerment to keep on hungering to do more. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Melanie C. Marcella M., you'll be up next, and then Ricky M. will follow you.
Thank you. My name is Marcella M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So I really this paragraph, and I love the people because it talks about me and my experience today, here and now. Like, now we need more action. The very first time that I came to the book, I said, are you kidding me? I'm not eating compulsively anymore. I'm abstinent from my alcoholic food. I take the time and the effort to prepare my food in the morning, talk to my sponsor, listen to the meeting, and then you tell me, I did my fourth step, I did my fifth step, and now you're telling me that I still need more action? How long? Like the rest of my life? Yes, the rest of my life, every single day. This line, just this line, now we need more action. That's a great line to wake up. Now I need more action. If I want my recovery to be fresh and relevant today, I need more action. Back when I was eating compulsively, the biggest lie that I told myself that I wanted to believe is that eating compulsively didn't harm anybody. It was my food that I bought with my own money. Nobody was being affected but me, and I was not harming anybody. And that was one of the biggest lies. When it came to make financial institutions, I wanted to believe because I didn't steal openly to people, because I just didn't do that. I thought that I was a very honest, just a little overweight person in the world. And then I started hearing, people that are really concerned with the environment and how expensive food is to the planet, not in terms of money, right? Like how long it takes for food to be grown, harvested, transported, going to the supermarket where I buy it. And then I overate. I ate what was not meant for me. I overate, which meant that I was eating things that were not my legitimate property. And that single amend changed completely my perspective about money. That got, like, I thought when I came to A Vision for You, I thought that the universe owed me an explanation, beginning with God, the planet, my family, the country in which I was born, and everything. And now with this simple movement of my will and my mind, I realize that it's the other way around.
I will, for if I live to be 120 and I eat abstinently, you know, weigh and measure 3 times a day with 2 snacks, I will still owe tangible food to the planet that sustains me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Marcella M. So we have Ricky M., and it looks as though we will have time for one more share after Ricky. Please go ahead, Ricky.
Hi, this is Ricky M. in Philadelphia, a compulsive overeater. So this step is so amazing. This is my third time around doing the steps. And from my experience in the past, I think it's such a gift because I got to see the way it works. The first time around when I did the steps, it was amazing. I had these, you know, lists of harms that I've done, and like one was so amazingly simple, but there was so much that I was holding on. I lived in this development, and I had this little kid. I had a toddler, and this like 6-year-old screamed at my toddler, and I, as the mom, got very defensive, and I yelled at him, and he ran into his house, and every time I would walk out, he would be so afraid of me, and I would see him, like, you know, run into his house again. And I remember being a kid and being yelled at by an adult. And the guilt of that just was with me for years. And I put that as a harm I've done. And then when I made my amends, I went and found him. He was a 12-year-old. He probably had no recollection of me yelling at him, but I, you know, gave him my amends and I apologized. And the lift, you know, the gift for me to have it lifted off of me, or my neighbor, I lived in a, you know, I lived in a basement and she lived upstairs. We were both renters and we disputed over the water and we disputed over the storage space. And I would just talk about her. I just didn't like her. I went and made an amends and we connected and I'm like, oh my, she's really a great person and she's really smart. And I was able to leave all this behind and grow. But then there were some amends that I thought that I'd just go over and kind of apologize for my part and it would be lifted. And these were deep amends that was hurt really deeply. And it wasn't just me, it was a friend. I worked in an environment and I was told to leave that premise with my friend because they didn't like something about us. And I was deeply personally hurt and was also going through a really hard time at the time. And I did my amends. I went to them and I asked, you know, forgive me for my part and what can I do? And they were fine. And it was 1 year, 2 years that, but by the time I got to my second time doing amends, like 4 years later, she was still on the list. And I tried to understand what was my part in this pain and this resentment. What I finally figured out, and not that we look for apologies and for forgiveness, but for this particular case, I really liked this person. And I felt like my pain was getting in the way of her, something that it was causing something deep. And if I really did care, I would forgive her or let her know what she caused, how much pain she caused me, and let her ask forgiveness. And I wouldn't do this for everybody. It's just that I really, really cared about her.
Gentle reminder.
And I couldn't do it. Sure. And I couldn't do it. And I couldn't do it. Just now, as I started working the steps again, it came to me. I just reached out to her and we talked about the past and she was telling me a struggle she was having with one of her kids. And I realized that the time has come and I know this is not, you know, for everybody, but this is what God gave me the ability. I texted her my story and how much pain I was in 6 years later. And a couple of days later, she asked for forgiveness and I was able to let it go. And it was amazing how it lifted after 6 years of holding on to this pain. Every time I thought about it. Sure. And I was just, let me just finish up. And it lifted. And now I'm making my amends again, and she's not on there. And I really appreciate that. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ricky M. And we have time for we really don't. I'm just going to give a little extra time for greeting newcomers and having sponsees be able to leave their number, just such important stuff. So I will now ask Pam. Thank you everybody who has shared. And we're going to read page 164 from the Big Book, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Pam M. please read A Vision for You?
I'm sorry about that. Can you still hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good, thanks. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.